You know, there's a lot of parts and moving parts to the nativity scene. It's a lot of different characters as part of the narrative, if you hadn't noticed. And I just wonder if you've got a favorite one. Is there a favorite, as you look at the nativity scene, is there one person, is there one part of that nativity scene that you'd say, you know what, I'm not going to explain it, but my favorite part is this. Do you have one you'd like to share? You like the angel. The angel. I like it. So all we have at ours is one angel. Scripture talks about a multitude, but our nativity scene had one lone angel up there singing his heart out. Okay, great. Yes? Everybody coming together as one. I like that. Favorite character? Just shoot it out. What do you got? Jeez, I know somebody would say that, and that's great. Okay? Yeah. You like the ethnicity of?
Different groups coming together.
Okay. The groups coming together. Come on, another character. Joseph. Yeah, poor Joseph gets maligned and not completely treated correctly half the time because people don't understand his story, which is just dynamic to the birth of Jesus Christ. Who else said what?
The whole family.
The whole family. You like the family aspect.
Mary.
You like Mary? Okay. Listen carefully. I visited a family a few years ago, and while I was with them, they told me that they had a tradition that they did around their table for dinner. So what they would do at Christmas dinner would be to set the whole table up with food, just like a lot of you might experience, and then they would start at one end of the table, and they'd point at the youngest kid. They'd say, okay, now you go and do what you got to do. And that kid would pop up and run over to the nativity scene in the living room next to the Christmas tree and take a character off the nativity scene and bring it back to the table and tell everybody why this character was their favorite one, whether it be Joseph or the baby or nobody said the sheep or the shepherds or wrongly in the nativity scene, the three kings who don't come for like 2 years, but it looks really good in the picture. And they would go one after another around the table. They'd run into the other room, and they'd go and they'd pick up a character and bring it in and tell a little bit about why they liked that character. I am glad that they never invited me over. Because while that sounds like that's so cool, for those of us who cook and work with food a lot, I got to tell you this. I'm thinking that meal's going to get real cold before that last person goes. I'm getting cold turkey or ham, and that's just all it is. All right, you understand that, don't you? Well, what I did today is I went out and got a character, actually took it from the other room, and somebody saw me doing it and called me on it and wanted to know what I was doing, like maybe, and it was a kid, wanted to know, like, maybe you're going to bring that back, Pastor Mike, because I know you. And so let me get it out, okay? I have a character who's rolling around under this table. It happens to be the Virgin Mary. And the reason I brought this character out and wanted to share with you about the Virgin Mary is this, is the fact that you know the amazing story of the birth of Jesus Christ and what that nativity scene looks like, whatever's in your mind and what you've seen all these years growing up. But the truth of the matter is that there's one character in this nativity scene who really had a major impact on her life because of the birth of Jesus Christ. And before that whole nativity scene took place, there's a whole other backstory. So for those of you who like going to movies these days where they're telling backstories in new movies, this backstory with her is absolutely amazing because an angel appeared to her in Luke chapter 1 and told her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. And went on in great detail about how this baby was going to be so fantastic. And she even says, hold it. How can this be? I'm a virgin. I'm not married yet. And the angel told her it was going to be by God's power that she was going to get pregnant. And you know what? A teenage girl in this society would immediately start thinking through a list of things. In fact, I made a little list. Listen to this. She would have to think about these things as far as being pregnant. In this culture, she'd have to think about the extreme shame in the community, with her family, with her friends. Because when you're pregnant, you can only hide it for so long. And sooner or later, people are going to point at you and go, uh-huh, I know what you've been doing. She'd know the dishonor that it would bring to her family, to her family's name. She would know that everywhere she went, people would look at her and judge her as being immoral and not like the rest of us. She knew that in a lot of the events of her normal life, she'd be banned and no longer allowed to be part of those things. And believe it or not, I'm sure she knew Deuteronomy 22, which basically gave them the right to stone her. All this is going on in her mind, and the only thing she's got to stand on is the story, listen carefully, is the story of an angel that appeared to her and told her this stuff. Some of you can probably tell them, I'm kind of from the East Coast. I'm fully from the East Coast. I ain't buying that, okay? There is no bridge like that that I'm going to buy that an angel told you that. But that's all she had to rest on was the story of this angel. In light of the list I gave you, and even a longer list of ramifications and prices and consequences to pay for being a teenage girl pregnant in this culture, she basically encountered the Lord. She had the word of the Lord given to her about herself, and she responds with these words in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And she says this, she, no theological training, she, never had this experience before, she who's got to be scared over what she heard, she who knows the price that's got to be paid for being pregnant in the culture, she hears all this from an angel. And she says this without batting an eye. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Not the theological poobah with the degrees and one who'd studied the Old Testament intimately and became a rabbi. Not one of those people that you would normally maybe listen to about biblical things. But this younger girl says, let it be to me as you have said. I will trust you. I am continually knocked over that a woman like this, a young girl like this, could challenge me so deeply. So much so that I wonder if we were to challenge ourselves this morning in a whole different way, how would this go? When you, this year coming up from this time forward, when you encounter the Lord's Word, meaning in the Scripture, and when it points to an area of your inner life, and your outer person, your inner person and your outer person, what you think and what you do, wouldn't it be a great challenge for you to say this? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to you, be to me, as you have said. Would that not be a fantastic way to live? To be that responsive to the Scripture? To be that responsive to what God tells you? And to actually turn around without debate? Without listing the cost or the consequences? Imagine if the immediate reply you had was this, I'm yours. Whatever you say, let it happen to me. That's a great challenge, and it comes from the heart and the life of a teenage girl who becomes the mother of Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, how we do thank you for the example of Mary. We're blown away that she would say something like this, that she's a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me, just like you said, according to your word. And Father, I thank you mostly for the challenge it provides for us. Because, Father, that's the response we want to have to your word going forward from this moment. So, Father, as Jesus who was born a baby, Jesus who grew to be a man, Jesus our Lord, Jesus our Savior, Jesus who went to the cross and paid the price for our sin, Jesus who came back to life and is alive today, Lord Jesus, as He directs us, as He communicates with us, as He challenges us, as He points things out in our life, Father, I pray that our response would be this, that I am your servant, let it be to me as your word has just told me. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.